Well, tonight we want to see Christ.
Amen.
We want to behold Him.
Amen.
We want to eat of Him.
Amen.
Take Him in.
Amen.
What are the other points? Behold Him, eat Him, become Him, and what? Propagate Him. This is really what we need. I'm hoping that this word tonight, I don't think we have to get into all the aspects of the meal offering except for application. Primarily. So tonight I want to bring this down to where you live, and hopefully the Lord can touch us and attract us and affect us for His move on the earth. You know, just this matter of the humanity of Jesus, I was so impressed years ago when I read the visions of Ezekiel. And I don't know if you've read that, but in the visions of Ezekiel, there's something very precious there. You have four living creatures, right? And these four living creatures, they manifest God's move on the earth. But they're there in a corporate way, and in particular, the way they're described is awesome. The appearance of the four living creatures overall, they have the appearance of what? Exactly. The appearance of a man. But then when you get, you know, those four living creatures, each one has four faces. And what's the first face that's mentioned? Is it the lion? No. It's the face of a man. The whole appearance of the four living creatures moving to and fro, you know, running together, flashing the lightning. They have the appearance of what? A man. They're expressing God in His move on the earth. The glory of God is seen through them. And also, individually, they have the face of what? A man. Anyway, I hope you would be impressed with our humanity, how God made us. He made us in a special way. He made us as a vessel. And this vessel, we're human beings. And we're made a particular way to do something. That is to contain God, to enjoy God, and to express God. And you know what God wants expressed? He wants to be expressed. He wants to express Himself in what? In humanity. He's not, I just want to take all you guys out of humanity and just float around as angels, you know, and enjoy God. No. He is after the earth. He's after man. And that's what you guys are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're a man.
Amen.
We're the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
And He wants to use man to be expressed. So don't try to be something different than a man.
Amen.
We need to be very human in all our living. But we need something. What do we need? We need the meal offering.
Amen.
We need the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
Do you think you can live the Christian life apart from Him? Nope. Our life's a failure at its best. Right, Chris? Are you victorious? Travis, is he victorious all the time? No. Not that I know, you know, but you're like all of us. We're men. We're just all cut out of the same hunk of cheese. You know, we're just the same. We're failures at its best, right? We're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. What's the matter with us? We need Jesus.
Amen.
We need the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
There's a number of things I want to cover, but let's just kind of go through the outline, and then we'll branch off from the outline, a little here, a little there, okay? All together on Roman number one, the flour meal offering signifies the individual Christ. It also signifies the individual Christian. A, all together. As the members of Christ, we should be His duplication and live the same kind of life He lived. This is a life of humanity oiled with the Holy Spirit, receiving Christ's cross as the killing salt, and living in resurrection to have the frankincense for God's satisfaction. So that's quite a sentence, isn't it? We should be His duplication and live the same kind of life He lived. Is that okay? Have you seen the humanity of Jesus? Do you want to live that same life again?
Amen.
Listen, He wants to live again in us.
Amen.
And so even individually, you know, in your daily life, he wants to be duplicated, just living himself. He wants to be God manifested in the flesh, wherever you are. And not just in the meetings, wherever you are, all day long, every day, okay? Then, but to live the same kind of life he lived, it's a life that is of humanity and it's oiled. Don't you like that? It's oiled with the Holy Spirit. Let's all say oiled.
Oiled.
Tell your neighbor, you need to be oiled. Now you turn back to your neighbor and says, oil me with the Holy Spirit.
Oil me with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We need to be oiled. What do you need?
Oil.
You need oil. Fill us, Jesus. Amen. Give us the oil. We want the Holy Spirit. And I think, well, I better not go there. Okay, hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah for being oiled. You know, you've always heard that expression, you know, when someone's complaining in the church life, what does that tell you? They're short of oil. Do you love to be around people that are complaining, murmuring? What do they need?
Oil.
You can listen to all their things, but just deep down realize they need oil. And the Lord's probably saying, you better give them oil. Don't respond, don't react, just give them oil. Of the Holy Spirit. Give them life. Amen. Okay, so you have the humanity, oil with the Holy Spirit, then receiving Christ's cross, right? That's the killing salt. And living in resurrection to have the frankincense for God's satisfaction. Well, let's go on to the first big point. Point one. Brothers. Could you read that in Romans 8?
In Romans 8, there are Christ's humanity, the Spirit of life, the cross, and the resurrection, wrapped up together as one. This shows us the kind of living we should have today.
Okay, so what do we have here? We have Christ's humanity, and in verse 3, this is in verse 3 of Romans chapter 8, what does it say? God sending his own son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. So the first thing is, according to Romans 8, you see that there is this meal offering. There's the fine flour, and it is something of humanity. Praise the Lord, he became a man. He sent his son in the likeness of flesh of sin. Isn't that amazing? He looks just like Nathan, or kind of, you know what I mean? He looks like us. He's a man. Stand up, Nathan. Turn around, look at everybody. Guess what this is? He came in the likeness of the flesh of sin, but not just in the likeness. He came full of sin. He's different. No, he's like all of us. He came full of sin. Just like all of them, he represents us. He came in the likeness of a man, but not just in the likeness. I've got to get this straight. He came in the likeness of the flesh of sin with sin. But Christ, Zach, stand up. Here we have Jesus here. Turn around. What did he come like? He came in the likeness of the flesh of sin, but with no sin. Do they look alike? They're a man. Wave your arms around. Hallelujah. Both of you say, hallelujah, I'm a man.
Hallelujah, I'm a man.
But this is full of sin, and this is Jesus. Just the likeness of the flesh of sin. Okay, sit down. We need Jesus.
Amen.
He has the fine flour without sin. He was just like us. He was tempted in all respects just like us, but yet, without sin. Isn't that awesome? Then you come to this next point, the matter of the cross. When Christ was here, what kind of living did he have? On one hand, he was, he had the humanity, but he also, oh, I'm going to the wrong next one. The wrong one. The Spirit of life. Praise the Lord. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. The Spirit was poured out. He was full of the Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that marvelous? And then he lived a salty life. What does that mean? He lived a crucified life. He was always denying himself, laying aside himself, right? And then he was in resurrection. He had a fragrance. There was a fragrance with him, right? That was so precious, so awesome. Then, okay, going on to Romans, in Romans 8, let's look at A through D here. sisters, A. It
doesn't say A on the album.
Oh, it doesn't?
C.
Oh, Christ is. My goodness. Okay. Let me get it out of my book. My goodness, what happened? Y'all are all in confusion, probably. Or I should say, I'm in confusion. Oh, I don't have my book with me. Is that an extra one? Okay. In Romans 8. Oh, my goodness. Okay, 1. Be one, sisters.
Christ is a man, and we are also human.
And all the sisters, brothers said?
Amen.
Okay, brothers too.
Christ was oiled with the Spirit, and today we are being oiled with the indwelling Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Then sisters, 3. Amen. Brothers, four.
Christ lived in resurrection, and we also may live in resurrection.
Amen. So Christ was all these things, and then now there's something else going on. What is it? And that is, we're human, right? But we're also, we're being oiled with the indwelling Spirit. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you're being oiled. And you should put your natural death, your natural being to death. Tell your neighbor. Being to death. Tell your neighbor, live in resurrection. Amen. 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 Well, you know, our life is so short. I remember, you know, moving into the brother's house and, well, let me back up. The first time I got really oiled. Think about the first time you got oiled with the Holy Spirit. Once I had a turn from the world, I began to seek after Christ on the college campus, and I went to the Baptist Student Union, and of all things, there were some charismatics sprinkled among them, and we did something strange that we never do. We went into a conference room. Shut the door, and we begin to pray, and then somebody turned out the lights. Total darkness. And we just kept praying. And then we kept praying. And the next thing you know, we're praising. And we're shouting. These are Baptists. Anyway, and I was among them, and I was praising and getting filled with the Lord. It's like one of those times where you hit the light switch, and you know, what happened? And that's exactly what happened. After it's all over, one of the brothers and I, we looked at each other. What was that? What happened? We were just so full of the Lord, and I had never experienced that. What in the world was that? Oiled. We looked at each other, what do we do? And I guess we better go preach the gospel. That's all we knew to do. Let's just go tell somebody about Christ. You know. Anyway, that was the first time I got oiled. But you know what? We need to live a life of being oiled. Oiled by the Holy Spirit, because everything we need, I think you all realize, everything is in the Holy Spirit. All that He's accomplished, all that He is, all that He has, is in the Holy Spirit, and it's everything we need. But there is this other aspect, and that is the aspect of salt. You know, we need to be salted. Do you ever get salted? Or have you been... Do you know what it is to be salted? You know, when I moved into the brother's house, I moved in, and I told them, I want to move in the brother's house. I came over there. I didn't know any of them. As soon as they saw me, they all looked, one of them looked out and said, oh, praise the Lord, he's got a car. He didn't say, praise the Lord for me. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, praise the Lord. He's got a car. What that meant was, I didn't know what that meant. But to them, it was like, whoo, we got some rides now, you know. And then eventually, you know, you realize I'd come home at a particular time and I'd like to stop all the activity that was going on during the day. And the first thing, Brother Ken, you got to take me to the shoe store. I said, what, the shoe store? And, yeah, I need it for work. And, okay, yeah, we'll do that. No, right now. How would you like someone? Right now. You just walk in the door. Let's go. You got a car. You're taking me to the shoe store. What do you do? Solve. That's exactly right. You all need salt. It's okay to be salted. Turn yourself away from, you know, all these other things and just get to the Lord. Lay aside yourself. You know, I realized when I moved into the brother's house that the Lord loved me. You know, one brother, he borrowed my car and came back and gave me the keys. Oh, praise the Lord. Thanks for letting me use your car. Oh, by the way, I ran into a little fire hydrant, you know, in the back. And but anyway, I just didn't see it, you know. You know what I mean. Praise the Lord, brother. Don't do that, brothers. Anyway, that's not a fine humanity. That's not a proper humanity at all. But I was enjoying the Lord, and what did I do? I just got salted. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And it happened again. Another brother borrowed the car. Oh, sorry, I didn't see that pole. This is a little dinner. And you don't understand, I had just gotten a new car. I was there. I was proud of my car. But by the time they got through with it, not anymore. No. That was not my first love anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah. Salting is good. Yeah. If it's a wonderful thing to be salt. Just lay aside your thoughts, your opinions, your preferences, your likes and dislikes. Just get to the Lord. Eventually, to me, I hope this would be your realization, but all those days living with others, I just had the full realization, Lord, every time anything happens that I'm not happy with, I need to turn to the Lord. And I realized, I don't just need to turn to the Lord. I realized, Lord, this is because you love me and you want me to gain you. You want to oil me. You know, in a sense. That's really the realization. I hope anything that comes your way in your living that's bothersome, you realize the Lord loves me and He wants to oil me. So what do I need? I need to turn. I need to get salted. I need to live a crucified life. And when you do, what do you experience? You experience resurrection. There's another life there. And you know what? If you live a life like that, there's a fragrance, okay, of Christ. See? All together, see. Let's read this.
If we set our mind on the Spirit and put to death the practices of the body, we will live, and this life will be alive in resurrection. As a result, we will be suitable.
Doesn't that sound wonderful, that we can be suitable to be a meal offering to satisfy the Lord? Hallelujah. Tom, we could be satisfying to the Lord. How? Well, we need to set our mind on the things which are above. Hey, Zach, shall we sing that little song? Some of y'all know it, I'm sure. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you died. died, for you died. Hallelujah. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that wonderful? Let's do the chorus again. For you died. You have to point at one another. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Saints, as we turn our heart, we turn our mind to the Lord, to the Spirit, we're just coming to Him. And as we touch Him, there's something marvelous that happens. There's the putting to death of the practices of the body. And don't you need to put to death the practice of the body? Yes, we have to. What's the solution? Do you deal with the flesh? You try to struggle with the flesh? No, the thing to do is get to the Spirit. Set your mind on the things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ is, right? Get to Him. Turn your heart to Him. Get to the Lord who's now the Spirit indwelling you. Then what happens? There's death to the practices of the body. Do you believe that? Absolutely. You better believe it. This is the facts. Amen?
Amen.
By the Spirit, right? Put to death the practices of the body and you will what? Live. What? Live. Do you want to die?
No.
Well, then you better put to death the practices of the body.
Amen.
But how do you do that? By the Spirit.
Amen.
Let's all say that. By the Spirit.
Amen.
What? Put to death.
Amen.
So I'll say that. Put to
death.
The practices of the body.
Practices of the body.
And you will what? Live.
Amen.
Amen. Very simple. This is the Word. You know, Romans 8, what is it, 11, 13? Also, I just wanted to, you know, there are these verses in Leviticus. Leviticus 2:13 is awesome. And I'll just kind of read it, at least part of it to you. Every offering of your meal offering, you shall season with salt. I forgot to go through this. Season with what?
Salt.
And you shall season with salt. You shall not omit the salt of the covenant. With all your offerings you shall present. Isn't that amazing? Present salt. The brothers all know I'm too much on salt. They all get on my case. But I always remind them, salt is good. Jesus said it. Amen. Anyway, no, don't pay attention to me in that regard. But anyway, it is interesting. The offerings, it had to have salt. All the meal offerings, what? Every kind, salt. Anyway, do we need the salt?
Yes.
We need a lot of salt in all our daily living. And we need the Spirit. We need the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. Touch the Spirit, and we get everything. It's an all-inclusive dose. Okay, this is just something, you know, this is what makes us suitable to be a meal offering and satisfying to the Lord. So this is on the individual side. You can be a meal offering. How? By getting this wonderful Christ wrought into your being. And as you enjoy Him, what happens? You're being oiled with the Spirit. And as you enjoy Him, you're strengthened even to, you know, get salted. Salt yourself. Crucify yourself. Put yourself aside. Mainly, I would say, what do you need to do? Touch the Spirit.
Amen.
Touch the Lord. By the Spirit. Let's all say that. By the
Spirit.
Put to death, right? So we've got to get to the Spirit. This is where all the supply, all the power, all the humanity, all that Christ is there in this all-inclusive dose, the Spirit, right? But we're not just after being a meal offering all by ourselves. Ben, you want to just be a meal offering by yourself? No. The Lord's after something bigger than that. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 2. The cake meal offering signifies the corporate cry, Christ with his body, the church. Praise the Lord. The cake meal offering. Do you like cake? Yes. So does God. The cake meal offering. This is something so precious. This is the corporate Christ. It says the New Testament reveals that the individual Christ has become the corporate Christ signified by the cake. And you see that in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Seeing that you're one bread, you who are many are now one body, for all partake of one bread. This is in 1 Corinthians 10:17. And then verse 12 says, as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is the Christ. Isn't it marvelous? There's one body now in the universe. There's one body, and we're a part of it. We're members one of another. And so that one Christ has been multiplied and formed into his body, the church. And so we're not just individuals, right? We're part of something bigger than just a meal offering all by ourselves to satisfy the Lord. Do you really feel that you can be one who just off by yourself satisfying the Lord? No way. Even if you did, how enjoyable is that? Just me and the Lord. It's nothing like being part of the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. The one bread, that one grain has been ground and blended together. And now we're all what? We're that blended loaf. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're a blended loaf. We're members one of another. Amen. Just look at your neighbor. Hey, Members. You're members one of another. Amen. That's wonderful. Well, praise the Lord for the cake. Amen. The cake meal offering. And this is for, well, let me just read B real quick. Everyone, how about? Christ is the head, and he has his body. Therefore, with the meal offering in the form of a cake, we have the church life. You ever heard the church life described as it's a cake? Hallelujah for the cake. Just look around. Isn't it enjoyable? Look at all the members. We're all just, we've been formed into a cake. We're something precious to the Lord. This meal offering has become a cake to the Lord. This is what he really desires. He is not after the individual Christians on their own. He's after the cake, the church life. He's after the body of Christ, the church that would express him. Well, let's move on to see altogether. The book of 1 Corinthians shows us a particular kind of church life, meal offering church life. Let's all say that, meal offering church life. Praise the Lord for the meal offering church life. So what's in the church life? If it's a meal offering church life, what does that imply? What's here with the meal offering? You've got fine flesh. Yeah, you've got the humanity of Jesus. He's here in the church life. The humanity of Jesus is here. The fine flour is here. Praise the Lord. The oil is here, right? The salt is here. Frankincense is here. There's no leaven. There's no honey. This is a precious, precious thing to the Lord. And I think you're all, as you've been hearing all the messages, you just realize how precious the church life is because of who is being wrought into our being and growing in us. It's Him. It's Him as the unique meal offering who's being constituted in our being to make us a corporate meal offering. So satisfying to God. Who really satisfies God to the uttermost? Christ. He's the delight of the Father. He met all the requirements of God. Could you meet Him? I couldn't meet Him. He met Them. He met all the requirements. That fine humanity, right? All that He went through. Being one with the Father. Always choosing the Father. Not living by His own life. Oh, I just love all those different aspects of Him. You know, what about that? You know, just the, you know, this matter of a bruised reed He will not break. Don't you love that? Don't you sometimes feel like a bruised reed? When you stand up and share, it's like, you know, the flute. You know, sometimes we're like that. You sit down and realize, man, I'm never going to share again, you know. Sometimes I'm just good to be broken. But you know what? The Lord will never break a bruised reed. This is His tender, loving care for us. A bruised reed He will not break. He will not. Amen. Smoking flax. He will not quench, right? Sometimes we're just not shining. We're just smoke. You get around a brother, you get around a sister, and you're just like, whew, you know, what's going on with her, you know? It's just, there's no fire. Where's the fire? I just get smoke, you know? And sometimes that's the way, we're in a fellowship. And they go off this way and that way, and their prayer is like smoke, you know? And everything they do, even spiritual things, it's just smoke. There's no real fire. Well, it's okay. He doesn't quench the smoking flax. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He doesn't do that. He's so loving and tender with every one of us. He would never give up on us. Then, let's go on to, is it one? C1, okay. Altogether one. In the meal offering church life, amen. We need a high, uplifted humanity. Saints, I'm just really burdened that all the young people would realize on the campus and in your lives, the Lord needs this kind of a humanity, a fine, uplifted humanity that will affect ones on the campus like nothing else. You know, First and Second Timothy and Titus were written at the end of Paul's life. And this is after he had seen all the degradation in the world, in the church life in particular. And in his writings, he mainly touches on the human virtues, the humanity that's needed to fight against the degradation. In other words, the real cure, this is what Billy said, the cure for fallen humanity is a proper, uplifted humanity. You know, that's astounding to me. We don't realize how much that's needed. You look at the situation, like Tim pointed out, it's just in the dorms. Everything is just getting worse and worse and worse. It was not like that long ago. And now, the age is such that what's going to cure this? Well, it's not like we're going to change the world. But the Lord needs something shining in the midst of this to call out ones out of that. They need to see a proper humanity. It's not like they need to see somebody on the campus screaming and hollering and jumping out from behind bushes. Praise the Lord! You know. If they do, they better have a proper humanity behind it to match that praise the Lord jumping behind the bush. You know. That actually happened years ago. On the college campus. Don't do that, brothers. we need all the virtues of Christ in His humanity wrought into us, so that what's expressed on the college campuses is something that really is something very satisfying to the Lord, and it touches this age. They're looking for reality. Don't think they're not looking for reality. They want reality. They just haven't seen it anywhere else. You know, one of the students I'm meeting with, he's an MIT grad. And this brother brought him to my house because he not only is an unbeliever, but he said something like this. He said, you know, he's got this entrepreneurial spirit. He's into this business, that kind of business to save the world and save, you know, the hunger. And he's got all these eyes. His mind goes 100 miles an hour. And he's working on some of those projects. And he's a yoga instructor. And he's, you know, he really doesn't care about money that much. You know, he wants to take care of people and the world and so forth. But then he told the brother, he says, you know, I don't know. He says, I just feel like there's a big hole in me that's just empty, and nothing seems to satisfy, though. How about that? You know what he's looking for? He's looking for the reality of the body of Christ. He's looking for Jesus. That's really what he's looking for. And so he's in the process right now of being infused by faith. He's coming again and again. Actually, I'll tell a little story about him. Because I think this may help even in your talking to people. You know, when he came, the first thing I kind of pointed out, well, let me just say this. He wanted to kind of get in this comparison between Christ and Christianity and the benefits of yoga. You know, the benefits of you being a Christian, and, you know, he wanted to know what your life was like, and he's trying to figure out, you know, why you're happy, and try to compare that to yoga. Now then, if you're in that situation, what do you do with this guy? Nathan, what do you do? Do you get in this realm of arguing about these things? You know what I did? You're amazed at what the Lord does, but I didn't even want to go there. All I did was I switched. I said, so-and-so, let me just ask you, have you ever read the words of the Lord Jesus? And then right away, you know, well, you know, I started reading, I didn't understand, so I just kind of dropped. Okay, let me just share something with you that he said. You'll be astounded. You've never heard words like that of the Lord Jesus. See, he has this concept about religion and all the things about, you know, it's just a big mess out. It's a big confusion. But he's never even heard the words of the Lord Jesus. So what do? Just present Christ. It's real simple. You just go to John 4. The Lord, he went through a certain area and he sat there by the well. And here, let's just read it. He was astounded. If you knew who was talking, I mean, have you ever heard words like this? If you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. Who says that to anybody? If you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. I ask him, what is that? Living water? Have you ever heard? You've never read that? That's Jesus. Not only that, the water that he gives, he tells her, the water I give will become in you. I almost did that. The water that I give will become in you. A well of water springing up into eternal life. And of course, he's there. Whoa, this is pretty good. You know what the end result of just that little talk? You know, and of course, he understood the woman had five husbands living with someone else. And this is how he took care of her. He knew she was thirsty. She was a mess, but he knew she needed to be her thirst satisfied by himself as the living water indwelling her. Anyway, it opened him right away, immediately. Guess what he wanted to do? Okay, yeah, let's read the Bible. Let's just read the words of the Lord. Let's just start in the New Testament. Let's just start reading. And guess what? Yeah, he's open. Just like that. So we've been going through and we've been talking about every chapter. And he started reading ahead before we got together. He'd read this chapter and these chapters. He went through the whole book of Matthew, and, you know, in too short a time. And then when I left to come here, we were just finishing up Mark. And anyway, he's going to get saved. He's just reading the Bible. But he's never heard the words of the Lord Jesus until now. Isn't that awesome? I believe it. What was my point? It's a proper humanity. You know, they're looking for this. Oh yeah, not only that. Here he is, a yoga instructor. He's a typical New England guy. And good family. But he came to a home meeting. You know, he stayed after our Bible study. And he usually goes off to yoga class, but he was through. And so he stayed. Then he was there with us singing. Man, what do you think that was like? He had never seen anybody enjoy the Lord. And these are MIT, Harvard, Cornell students. And he's there, just one of those MIT, and looking at the faces. You could tell he was just looking at all the faces. Wow, they're all, they were shining, and they were happy. They were enjoying the Lord. And after it was over, he just said, he told the brother, he says, man, you have got something going on here. This is awesome. He was attracted right away. This is awesome. Not only that, he's just being loved. He's being cared for. We give him all our food after the home meeting. You know, put it in his backpack and off he rides on his bicycle. You know, and then one of the last meetings, he overslept and he wanted to get to the house. And it's 8:30. We finally called him, woke him up. No. He jumped on his bicycle. It was pouring down rain. He rode all the way over in the rain. He came drenched from top to bottom and got there at 9 o'clock. And he stayed till midnight enjoying. He's just never been in this atmosphere, this scenery of life and joy. Anyway, I'll come back to this in a minute. But this is what they're longing for. They're looking for a proper humanity. Not only that, you know, the brothers, they just get into his life, for example. What about, you know, one of the brothers, he jogs and he's, you know, he runs, and just invite him to run with you. He's looking for things like that. So now he's running with the brothers in the morning early or something. It's tremendous. This is the corporate meal offering. It's so normal, so precious. So attractive. Don't you think? You like it? I like it. And he likes it. And he's not even saved yet. Wow. Okay. C1A. If we would have the proper church life, we all need to have a strong character. Hallelujah. Let's all say that. Strong character.
Strong character.
What is character? Where do you get character from? It's from birth and from what? Habits. So I like to go back to Bobby's fellowship. You know, one hand, you've got something from birth. Can you do anything about that? What about habits? Those can change. This is where, for the sake of your character, which the Lord needs, a strong character, he doesn't need a bunch of jellyfish. Just, you know, weak-willed and just going along with the course of the age this way. Do what you feel. You know, just, I don't feel like getting up this morning, you know. Some are like that. I can't believe there's some students, they don't even go to class. Huh? Isn't that right? Some don't. I would never miss a class. You know, I can get it online. They got all the excuses. But it's not good character. It's a bad habit. It's a bad testimony. You know, I don't need to be there. Anyway, we need habits that are proper, that build up a strong character that is fitting for the Lord to move into our being. He wants to move in, and he comes in with his humanity. But it just, if we don't have the proper character, we need the habits built up. I just go back to that. I just want to, amen. Get yourself scheduled. Schedule your time. Don't waste away your life. Like I said, don't just watch the church life go by and just be kind of a wishy-washy, wimp. Jump into the church life and get yourself scheduled. Get to the point where do you brush your teeth in the morning?
Yeah.
Zach, really? Okay. Well, that's good. Then why wouldn't every one of us, why wouldn't you schedule a little time to get into the Word every morning? Just do it. You have a will. You can choose. The Lord's not going to force it on you. It's up to you, okay? Let's go on. Then, if we have such a humanity, we will exercise self-control. You have some verses here where Paul said, I buffet my body and make it a slave. We bring our body into subjection. He is not going to be under the power of anything. That was Paul's view. I'm not under the power of anything. Are you under the power of anything? Amen. Hallelujah for that power. Amen. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
But what about when you wake up in the morning? What are you under the power of? What's the first thing? Yeah, sleep. More sleep, yeah. But when you jump up, what's the first thing you really get into? It's so easy you've got to check something. You check your email, right? Bobby, don't do that. I'm talking to me. Don't do that. The first thing we need to do is get to the dear Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He's our first love.
Amen.
Don't come under the power of the internet. We should not be under its power. Anything shouldn't be have its power over us. There's no reason for that. That is not a proper character. We have self-control, and I'll tell you, I'll get to it in a minute, but self-control, you know where it is? It's in the Spirit. You believe that? Galatians 5, 22, 23. We'll see it. Okay? Don't come under the power of anything. If you're under the power of something, it's really sad. Let's just say, You just always take care of something else besides the Lord. Let's just say you love your internet and you've got to go check. Let's say you got to go check the scores. That's first. Well, do you love the Lord more than the scores, or do you love the scores more than the Lord? Obviously, you're under the power of all the scores. What happened? Well, Ron said one time, if you love, I think this Ron, he said, whatever you love more than the Lord, and then when he comes back, he'll leave you with it. Is that what you love the most? Well, you just keep it. And then you miss the reward. We don't want to miss the reward. Don't let anything have the power over us. And we don't need to, because you know what? We have the all-inclusive, bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's a bountiful supply here. I'll come back to that again. I'm leading to some things. I'm kind of going through some things, but there's something I really want to get to here shortly. Okay? Then C2. C2. Yeah. Yeah, 1C. Christ the man, let's all read this. Christ the man, given to us by God, is God's gift to us. God has called us into the enjoyment of this gift. Now this is big. We have been called into the enjoyment. We have been called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is in 1 Corinthians, right? You see it there, 1:2 or 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship. Tell your neighbor, you were called. You were called into the fellowship. You know what this fellowship is? This is an enjoyment. You're called into the fellowship of His Son. You're called into this sweet enjoyment between you and the Lord. You've been called into this.
Amen.
Don't you have the sense you're called?
Amen.
You're not like anybody else. You've been called into the enjoyment of His Son. Joey, what is your destiny?
The New Jerusalem.
Oh, so doctrinal. I don't disagree with you, but you've been called into the what?
Enjoyment of God.
Amen. The enjoyment.
Amen.
The fellowship of His Son.
Amen.
Wow, this is, isn't that interesting that you have that point right here? This is under the fine flower. Strong character, self-control. But then what? He's called us into this enjoyment of Himself. God has called us in the enjoyment of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, what kind of life should we have? Our life should be a life of enjoying Him.
Amen.
All our days till the Lord comes back. What should we be doing?
Enjoying
Christ.
Him.
You know, yes, we need to be enjoying Him. This is how you get what He is wrought into your being. By enjoying. I just love that this is the way the Lord takes. He doesn't take the way of just mere outward doctrines and teachings, but He takes the way of His economy, which is what? Him dispensing Himself. Him flowing Himself into us. By what? Our choosing to what? Enjoy Him. To eat of Him. To drink of Him. To get filled with Him. It's a life of enjoyment. I hope in all your contacts with people, with friends, you're an enjoyer. You know, I just almost can't get stay away from this. You know, in Galatians 5, 22, 23, what are those verses? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, you have a number of virtues there. And these are all items that are in the Spirit. And as you enjoy the Lord, these items, these qualities, these attributes of God become your virtues. They become the fruit of you touching the Spirit. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Touch the Spirit and you get what's in the Spirit.
Amen.
What's the fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Number one, it's what? Love. Not just love. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. This is it. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. You know, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through His Spirit that He's given to us, right? So we have love. That's one. What's the number two in Galatians?
Joy.
That always amazed me. Joy. Tom, what about joy? Can you believe it? How do you walk around on the campus? Do you have this kind of humanity? A humanity that has love. And then what? Number two?
Joy.
Hallelujah for joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah for the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy. Do you realize that joy is a fruit of the Spirit? What happens when you love the Lord? Nathan, you get happy? Amen. Tell your neighbor, get happy. Amen. Love the Lord. Get into the joy of the Lord. Make Him your delight. This is too good. How, when you go to the campus, I'm here, I'm just kind of burdened. How you go? You're on the campuses. People are watching you. You're in classes. You have friends. What are you like? What kind of humanity do you have? Oh, I want the humanity of Jesus. I want to be a person full of what? Love. And what? Joy. And if you're full of love and you're full of joy, what else do you have?
Peace.
Peace. Yeah. Let's just say that. Peace.
Peace.
So love.
Love.
Joy. And
peace.
Then what's after that? Long suffering? Yeah. Ooh, you don't like that one. But that's actually good. You can suffer long. You can suffer long. You can suffer a long time. Look at how long the Lord has been working on you. He's so long-suffering. Right, Tom? The longer you live, you realize, man, He is so long-suffering. Long. Yeah, long-suffering. Yeah, let's all say that. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Yeah. Amen. You know, there's a verse in Romans chapter 2, I believe, Romans 2, that always impressed me. It says this, something like this. He says, do you know, one of the ones is kindness. That's another one, kindness. Let's all say that, kindness. Well, you know what, in Romans chapter 2, Paul says this, do you despise the riches of His kindness? Something like that. Do you despise the riches of His kindness, not knowing that His kindness is leading you to repentance? Whoa, that woke me up. I don't know if it woke you up. What leads to repentance in that verse? Kindness? No, you got to preach. You got to let them have it. Well, it's according to how you let them have it. But it should be a kindness. We should realize kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, and that kindness, it leads people to repentance. You know, one time I was upset with a high school brother because I heard some things that were going on that wasn't so proper, and I realized, okay, he needs some fellowship, you know. And so I found out what home he was in, and okay, I'm just going to visit that home meeting, you know. But I was really out to get him, okay? So I made the mistake. On the way over to the home meeting, I started praying. And praying, I got filled with the Lord. I got filled with the Spirit. So guess what happened? What kind of fruit came out when I got there? It was terrible. I got there just, oh, this naughty, and all I could do is just love him. Just love him. I couldn't say anything to him. I just, oh, so-and-so, what have you been up to? Da-da. And all I couldn't say anything. Nothing would come out of my mouth but love, kindness. You know what? That was a big help to him. I could have broken that bruised reed, you know, that quenching flax, quenching, you know. But we need the fruit of the Spirit. We need to touch the Spirit, touch the Lord as the Spirit, get His attributes wrought into our being so that what flows out of us is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, among other things. There's a number. Okay, the church, are we in point two now? Yeah, C2. The church life is a life of humanity oiled by the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. So, let's just read through it quickly, A through D. Brothers, begin.
Paul's speech and preaching were in demonstration of the Spirit.
Amen. In demonstration of what? The Spirit. Okay, sisters, B. Amen. Brothers?
We are one Spirit with the Lord.
Brothers, one more time, strongly.
We are one Spirit
with the Lord. That should make you crazy. Amen. We're one Spirit with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow, such a Christ. We're one with Him. You know, these verses are tremendous. You know, the one in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Tell your neighbor, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. Say it this way. He dwells in you. That's a tremendous thing. And not only that, we're one Spirit with Him. We're one Spirit with this wonderful one. We're one with the Lord. Listen, saints, we have everything we need. We really have everything. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. This one has gone through a process. He's picked up all, he has all the, all the virtues that we need expressed in our humanity. It's His humanity lived in out through our humanity. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So if you're looking at these verses, you know, demonstration of the Spirit dwells in us as the Spirit. We're one spirit with the Lord. Then D, what does it say altogether? If we were not one with the Spirit, we could not have the church life. We are one with the Holy Spirit, and we need to remain in this oneness. So this point is so much about us being oiled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit in a full way. And you know what verse comes to mind? This is in Ephesians 5. Speaking to one another. What? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, recently I've been impressed. If the Word tells us that there's a particular way to get filled with the Spirit, why wouldn't we do it? What's one of the ways to be filled in Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns. That's what you guys were doing before the meeting, right? Isn't that awesome? What was happening? You were being filled. You were oiling each other. Did you get oiled, Joey? Amen. It's good to be wet with the fresh oil, okay? Well, what about on the campuses? Do you ever sing on the campuses? I'll just tell you this. You know, a few years back when I went to UCLA, and they're taking care of the team, the full-timers and so forth. Dick Taylor said to me one time, he says, I long for the day to see the college students singing on the campus. And I just thought, amen. I just kind of hid that in my heart. And was looking for the way, you know, to help the students to be brought into some experience of that. And I knew that there's some wisdom to that, because when you go to sing on a campus, I'm just kind of throwing it out. When we began doing that at UCLA just a few years ago, it's just tremendous, you know, to be with a group, a meal offering, you know, a cake. Out on the campus, and you're there together with the other members, it's the easiest way to get your face ripped off. It's easy because you're oiled with the Spirit. You sing together, you release the Lord, you get filled up, and you're just shining. You're just shining. And you know what? People go by, what do they see? They see Jesus. They may not even know it, but I think they know. There's something there. They do. Right, James? That's just a suggestion. You know, we had, you've been doing that, right, Chris, at UMass? Yeah. What do you think about that? See, there's Travis. He's one of the new ones. I like it. Yes. We had one at Boston University. They were singing. It was so attractive. And this one guy just stood there and just looked at him. And it was so awesome. One of the brothers just came out and started talking to him. And he received the Lord right there. He just prayed with him. Do you want to receive the Lord? Yes. I mean, was it like that? Wasn't that what they said? Something? And you... Really? I forgot about that. Got saved and he's in contact with them. Yes. Yes. What a testimony. That's a good little pop-up. Hallelujah. One of my classmates thinks it's some kind of a choir, but you know what? It is not a choir. This is awesome, you know. Recently at UCLA, I know when we were there, they had a particular day for the groups to come together, and it was random. They weren't going to let all the groups. So it was random, and we weren't included. But guess what happened? We went anyway. We just set up somewhere else besides where all the other groups were. We just set up somewhere else. And there was a whole, and a bunch of the students were out there, and they were just singing and enjoying. They had a table, passed out some things, but mainly they were just singing. It was incredible. The students were coming. These were freshmen coming with the parents, and they all just came there. They were taking pictures of us and just standing there with, you know, I guess they wanted their kids to, you like this, right? You know. But what's awesome is the UCLA, the cameraman that was recording this special day, you know, I forget what it was, they came and they took pictures of us singing. And they put it on the UCLA website as part of the highlights of that day, you know, and we weren't even invited. That was awesome. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, if singing fills you up, why not do it everywhere? You know, I'll never forget going on the subway, you know, with a bunch of college students. We got on the subway in New York City, and, you know, this is, I just knew something was going to happen, and here goes David Gideon. He reaches in his pocket. He's standing there all crammed in, and he pulls out a harmonica. And we're all like, no, what's he going to do? And he started playing the harmonica, and what do we have to do? We had to sing. We were singing. It was so awesome, too. Once our spirit got out, and we were so released, and then the subway, it stopped, and this older businessman, well-dressed, he stopped before he got off the bus. He said, off the tram, he says, I just want to say something. He says, I've been riding the subway for 30 years, and I've never heard anything that like that in my whole life. I really want to thank you. And he just got off. Somebody ran and gave him a track. But, but isn't that sweet? They just get blessed. They get blessed with the triune God. Amen. You know, it reminds me of that song, you know, the MIT, Harvard, at the beginning of this last school year, MIT and Harvard students, I know in Freshman Connect or Student Connect, they wrote a song. And y'all sang it, right? Huh? Above the waste and emptiness, broods the Spirit of God, bringing forth God speaking in us. Hey, let there be light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome. In it was light. The life was the light of man. Anyway, we won't sing the next one. But anyway, isn't that awesome? You know, some of the ones who wrote that, they're just still amazed. It's like, what? They're singing it all over the world? You know, some were singing it in Milan in the subway, and they sent it back on the tube. And these are this sophomore. I can't believe, you know, we wrote a song that's being sung all over the world. You know, anyway. But saints, that's good. Let the light shine. Anyway, I'm kind of promoting this a little bit, but anyway, maybe a lot. I don't know. It's just so good. It's the way to be filled, and when you're filled with the Lord, you just shine. There's just a shining. People see it. Yeah, Audrey, you were there when that one just came up to y'all singing. You're singing and wanted to get saved. And were you there at that time? Yeah.
They take out their earphones, they listen to us, and they start clapping or they start smiling or thinking.
Yeah. Brother Dick says this. He says, no one knows how to handle people that are enjoying the Lord. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Then in 1 Corinthians, there's also, this is point three, in 1 Corinthians, there's also the frankincense. That is Christ in resurrection. Then A, the grace of God which we are enjoying today is Christ in resurrection. And you have this verse. Saints, don't you just love grace? Don't you love enjoying the Lord? I mean, Paul could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but what?
The grace.
But the grace of God which was with me. Grace is the enjoyment of Him. What have you been called into, Joey?
Into His marvelous light.
Amen. He'll catch up eventually. That's okay. Yes, we've been called into the enjoyment.
Amen.
We've been called into this grace.
Amen.
In which we stand. We need to be strong in the grace.
Amen.
Strong in the enjoyment of this Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well, all your labor, I hope all your labor on all the campuses, whatever you do, would be full of what?
Grace.
And not just grace, but grace. This is one of my favorite words, grace. He who has the grace wins. That's just, anyway, I like that. In the final, you know, how does the whole Bible end?
Grace.
With grace, exactly. Grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. What?
Amen.
What?
Amen.
What?
Amen.
The grace. Of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints.
Amen.
Amen. After you've seen everything there is, after all the visions, at the end of the Bible, what's the concluding word? The grace of the Lord Jesus. The enjoyment of the Lord Jesus. Be with all the saints.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, okay, I got to move on quickly here. The salt. The fourth element of the meal offering can also be found in 1 Corinthians. A, Paul did not preach miracles or wisdom. He preached Christ crucified. B, if we would have power in preaching the gospel, we need to live a crucified life. Amen. And then five, before we get to this, I just want to present a few other verses. And that is in Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Maybe we could look at this if you have a Bible. Philippians 2, 15. If you have it, let's just kind of read it together, could we? That you may be blameless and guileless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world. And the first part of 16, holding forth the word of life. Okay, let's read this again, strongly. That you may be blameless and guileless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world, holding forth the word of life. So, you can see here, you're in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. Do you agree? Are you in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation? Absolutely. Tim's word last night made it really clear. This is, you're in the midst of it. But did the Lord want to take you out of that? No, He wanted to. He prayed for us that we be sanctified in the truth. Your word is truth, right? He wanted us to be kept from the evil one. Well, here, you have a particular function. What is it?
To shine.
To shine. What was that, Nathan?
To shine.
We have in the midst of that crooked, perverted generation, we shine. Shine as luminaries. Tell your neighbor, you're a luminary.
You're a luminary.
Amen. You're a luminary. You're a luminary. Hallelujah. All the luminaries. We're luminaries. Among whom? Among all those ones, what do? You shine as a luminary. What's the key to your shining, though? Holding forth what? The word of life. The word of what?
Life.
No, not life. Life. Holding forth the word of life. He came that we might have what? Life. We might have it what? Abundantly. We're holding forth the word of life. This is what is the power on the campus. Is we need the word of life. Then you can shine in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. Don't be bothered. Get filled with the word. Hold forth the word of life. And this brings me to this next point. Well, I've got to read another verse. And let's look this one up also. This is 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Altogether, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So here, what do we see? This is tremendous. Can you believe this? This is the meal offering. It's something corporate. What is the Lord after? He's after what? A chosen race. What? A royal priesthood. Aren't you glad you're part of the hood?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you're a priest.
You're a priest.
And we're in the hood. It's the priesthood. He's called us into this. We're part of the priesthood, right? We're a holy nation, a people acquired for possession. And then it's very clear, saints, that what? That you may what?
Tell out.
Let's say it again. Tell out. Tell out what?
The
virtues. Of who?
Of Him.
Tell out the virtues of Him. Amen.
Amen.
You want to tell out your own virtues?
No.
Do you have any?
No.
Listen, they're not the real virtues. We need to tell out the virtues of Him. Tell out. That means in whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, you're living, you're speaking, should what? Tell out the virtues of Him. And what are all the virtues? Oh, we can't tell all of them, but what are some of them? Come on. Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering, etc. Okay, tell these out. Tell it out. Kindness. Tell out the virtues. Do you ever go across the campus and say hello to people? Nathan, brothers, Dylan. Do you ever say hello to people?
Yeah.
See, yeah, there you go. We're all like that. Listen, just tell out the virtues. It's okay to be kind to people. Just a little kindness. You know, I saw this one guy on the campus. I was passing out tracts years back. I saw him coming, and he had a trench coat on. Everything was black, and he had rings everywhere and colors everywhere. And I'm thinking, and he's just... Guess what happened? Very simple. I mean, I did nothing great, but I just said, "Good morning." And he couldn't believe I said that to him. "Good morning." And all of a sudden, his face lit up. He had this scowl, dark, just, "Good morning. Good morning." Guess what happened? He just lit up. And then I said, "Oh, here's something for you to read today." "Okay, thank you." I was shocked. He just went on by. That was it. But just, he lit up and he said, "Thank you." Just by saying, "Good morning." Come on, kindness, you guys. Tell your neighbor, kindness.
Kindness.
Love.
Joy.
Peace.
Long.
Suffering. Kindness. Amen. Those are just a few. Amen. Then, okay. Coming back to the outline, well, there's also, just for your reference, Matthew 5, where the Lord said, "You are the light of the world." Okay, now you have to tell your neighbor again, "You're the light of the world."
You're the light of the world.
Who said that? Jesus said that. He said, Mike, what are you?
Light of the world.
Whoa, Mike is... why don't you stand up and tell everybody what you are?
Light of the world.
One more time. The light of the world.
The light of the world.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's all say that. You are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world.
What do? Do you put it under a bushel and hide it?
No.
I hope you guys don't have two sets of lives. You know, the Christian life, church life, and then your self life. You put on a different uniform, act a different way around other ones. If so, you need the humanity of Jesus worked into you.
Amen.
May the Lord keep growing in us until there's just one way of life.
Amen.
It's Christ living again in us on the earth.
Amen.
Now then, I got to get to this. Point five, it says in 5, 6b through 8, Paul deals with leaven, the sinful and negative things. And then point A is where I just want to hammer this. Let's all read A. The only way to eliminate sin is to eat Christ's crucified, resurrected, and sinless life. It's the only way. It's the only way. Let's see, what do we have left here? Christ is the unleavened bread. The more we eat Him, the more we shall become unleavened. And then you get into this matter of the honey. I don't have to have time right now, but I do want to mention this. Saints, we talked about sin. And we talked about problems we have with sin. Problems with the world. With addictions. Listen, on one hand we have the blood to take care of all our mistakes, our missteps, our wrongdoing. Praise the Lord for the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We enjoyed that this morning, right? Aren't you relieved? Hallelujah for the blood.
Amen.
In Revelation 12, the overcomers, they overcome the accuser by what? The blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they love not their soul life. They're salted. Hallelujah. But here, can you believe this? The only way. How do we deal with sin that's in our members? How do we deal with it? What does it say? We need to eat Christ.
Amen.
Let's all say that. Eat Christ.
Eat Christ.
Where do we find Christ? We need the Word, right? Behold, eat, become, propagate. By what? The key word is what? Eat. Eat. Let's all say that. Eat.
Eat.
Eat the Word.
Eat the Word.
Enjoy the Word.
Enjoy the Word.
Saints, I can't tell you, the more you enjoy the Word, the more your life is changed. What you flow out to others is not just doctrine, it's not just teaching. It's full of enjoyment. It's full of riches. You know, I had some students, a couple of them at UCLA, and we were just kind of chatting, and I asked them something about appointments, and one of them said, "Oh, I don't want an appointment. They're too boring." You know what I said? What would you do? What do you do, Robert? They're too boring. You know what I said? You get an appointment with me, it won't be boring. I promise. They said, "No, I don't know. I don't believe you." I said, "Yeah, I promise." Guess what the first appointment I had with them was? No. I got into Ezekiel 1. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. Of course, I mentioned it before. But you've got a wind from the north, you know, turns everything upside down. Then there's an overshadowing cloud. Then there's electrum. And then there's four living creatures that come out of that. And then they've got four faces, and they're all attached at the wings. And they're all going in different directions, but none of them turns, exactly. And they run like lightning, and they flash the lightning, and then they have torches going up and down. And there's a wheel next to them. And in the wheel, the Spirit is in the wheel. Wherever the Spirit is, that's where the wheel goes. Anyway, when you get through with that, they were just like, "Man, this is the Word is awesome." It's according to how you present it. You've got to enjoy it yourself and then present your enjoyment. Enjoy the Word. Get into the Word and enjoy it. I've got to tell you this one. I'm running out of time. Okay. This is a Harvard student. And he's a junior now. Or he just finished his junior. He'll be a senior. And he's newly born again. You know, he doesn't know that much. And just getting into the Word with John chapter 4. Again, here you are, the woman at the well. And you have this matter of worship, you remember? And so it was very simple. When I get with them, what I like to do is just highlight, underscore, repeat. What does it say? And then, of course, give a little bit of feeling. You know what I mean? No, say that again a little slower, you know. Do you know what I mean? And so we got into this matter that the Father seeks worshipers. And true worship is where? In spirit. And then also you have this matter of the Lord being the well, you know, in which, you know, he's in us as a well springing up eternal life. So I just asked him, I said, okay, what is true worship? And no, I said, where is true worship? He says, well, it's in spirit. No, I'm getting messed up. The first thing I said is, what is true worship, I think is what I ask. I can't remember. But the main point was, it's drinking. Then I ask him, where is true worship? Where does it take place? His word was, real worship is at the well. Did you like that? I like that. Real worship is where? It's at the well. Wherever there's drinking, that's true worship. Then I just took it one step further. Okay, so true worship is drinking the Spirit, drinking the Lord. Where does that happen? In spirit. So he's clear. He was clear about that parts of our being. Then I just took him to Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. I said, okay, so the dwelling place of God, what is that? He said, well, that's the church. So where is the church? It's in spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm doing a bad job. He put it all there. It was ding, ding, ding. Three dings. Real worship is in spirit. Real worship is at the well. The building of the church is where? In spirit. And this is what we're doing right now as we're together. Anyway, sorry, I blew that one. Okay. But I want to impress you regarding the word, saints. I want to read just a few quotes from this little book. It's called Lord Thou Setst. It's a compilation of quotes of different ones used by God throughout history that had a walk with the Lord. And it's their experience of handling the word by prayer. And I'm going to start with the foreword. This is put together by Ray Graver. And let me find it. Where is it? Oh, here it is. So this is how he begins. He said, he says, how encouraging is the memory of the day when I first tasted the Word of God. Saints, we have to taste the Word to eliminate all the problems that we have. The Lord needs us to enjoy the Word, taste the Word. This will transform us. This will get the humanity of Jesus wrought into our being. Do you want the humanity of Jesus? So what do we have to do? Eat. We need to enjoy Him, right? And he says this, how encouraging is my memory the day I first tasted the Word of God. Often before that day, I had studied, discussed, and memorized the Bible. But that day, it was different. While I was reading in Acts, the words that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13, it stood out. Soon the whole verse was alive. I read the words. I prayed the words. I sang the words. I went to the woods behind the dorm and shouted the words, unlearned and ignorant. But they had been with Jesus. With Jesus. Oh, with Jesus. Even now, 20 years later, there's still the longing and the prayer to be one who has been with Jesus. Isn't that sweet? Okay. This was Ambrose. He lived in 340 A.D. He was born in 340 A.D. Long time ago, right? Listen to this. Oh, we ought for a long while to bruise and refine the utterances of the heavenly scriptures, exerting our whole mind and heart upon them, that the sap of that spiritual food may diffuse itself into all the veins of our soul. Doesn't that sound good? Shall I read it again? I like that. We ought for a long while bruise and refine the utterances of the heavenly scriptures, exerting our whole mind and heart upon them, that the sap, hallelujah for the sap, amen, of that spiritual food may diffuse itself into all the veins of our soul. Isn't that awesome? Then, okay. This is George Whitfield. He was an outdoor evangelist in the 1700s. I began to read the Holy Scriptures upon my knees, laying aside all other books and praying over, if possible, every line and word. This proved meat indeed and drink indeed to my soul. I daily received fresh life. Amen. Life. Light. And power from above. Amen. Then, let's see. There's so many good quotes in here. But this is C.H. McIntosh in the 1800s. He's one of the brethren that we got so much help from on his notes on the Pentateuch. He said this: points of truth, however interesting, scriptural knowledge, however profound and extensive, biblical criticism, however accurate and valuable, may all leave the heart barren and the affections cold. We want to find Christ, amen, in the Word. Amen. And having found Him, to feed on Him by faith. Amen. Feed on Him. Okay, here's another one. Oh, I like this one. You'll like this too. This was Charles Spurgeon. He was a powerful British minister in the 1800s. He says, new veins of precious ore. You know what ore is? It's a mineral, you know, like in a mine. New veins of precious ore will be revealed to your astonished gaze as you quarry God's Word and use diligently the hammer of prayer. Use prayer as a boring rod, and wells of living water will leap up from the bowels of the Word. Who will be content to thirst when living waters are so readily obtained? Amen. Okay, here's another one. Dwight L. Moody in the 1800s. I never have seen a man or woman who spent 15 or 20 minutes alone with God every day that didn't have the dew all the while. I have never known one to backslide either. You never get, listen, I like this. You never get more than one day's journey from Christ if you come to Him every morning. One day's journey. Amen. Shut the world out. Get closeted with God and you will learn His secrets. Amen. I think that's good for now. I think we need to stop. I just want to, again, highlight, saints. I know I'm all over the place, but the burden is we would see the humanity of Jesus needs to be worked into our being. We need this humanity lived out of us wherever we are, in our daily life and in the church life. And in the church life, praise the Lord, we have a meal offering church life. And in this church life, we need what He is with all His virtues worked into our being. And there is no other way, saints, there's no other way than getting filled with the Word of God. That's just it. If you're not a person who gives yourself to get into the Word, to live in the Word, to get saturated with the Word, you'll just drift on with all the rest like a jellyfish, just with no backbone, just going the way of everyone else. But we're not those. You know, we're not those that shrink back to ruin. We care about each other. We're here in the church life. We want to help each other. What? To enjoy the Word. To be full of grace, to be filled with the Word every day. We need to encourage one another, whatever way we can, to be in the Word, but not just not just in an outward way, but don't you want to enjoy it? Amen. Don't you want to get the sap out of it? Amen. Let it get into the veins of our soul? Amen. Amen. Well, much grace to you all. Hallelujah.
Okay, let's pray together for just a minute, and then we'll have
to pray. Amen.